I am Planta on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. The acclaimed and award-winning actress and comedian Kathy Jones joins me now. Her one-woman show, Stranger to Hard Work, will run at the Fire Hall Arts Centre here in Vancouver from Wednesday the 28th of September to the 8th of October. It's their 34th season opening production. Ms. Jones joins me now to preview this mix of sketch comedy, stand-up, and entertainment that she's toured a few cities across the country already. Visit firehallartcenter.ca for tickets. Kathy Jones has been on this hour, has 22 minutes since it debuted in 1993. She was also a founding member of CODCO. Her work has garnered her multiple Gemini Awards. Her film credits include The Grand Seduction and Weirdos, the new Bruce McDonald film that will screen shortly at the Vancouver International Film Festival. Please welcome to the Planta Online program in Halifax today, Kathy Jones. Ms. Jones, good morning.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Now, I understand you're in the local Sears there trying out beds.
Yeah, I am. Like I was at I had to get the screen fixed on my phone, which is at the Apple Store next door.
Yeah.
And I've been doing all my interviews out of the Sears mattress department, and no one seems to have noticed me yet. I've just tried the chiropractic collection. It's called the Resort, and it's a little soft.
Well, you have to let me know because as I told you just before we started, I've got to get a bed soon.
And yeah, I've got a bed in the country that I don't know what it is but it's like, oh, when I get in, I think, oh yeah. Whereas I think people used to have hard beds,
yeah,
and there was a whole thing where people had to have support.
Yeah,
like that's gone out the window. That whole support thing. Now they got to have the pillow top, and that's what I recommend. Is get, you know, you're going to bed, like get comfortable.
Yeah, but the pillow top is not that squishy thing, is it? That
it's not that thing you put on the top. It's just that
the
mattress has support, but the top is quite. Mm.
Yeah, because I mean the ones that are bad for you are the ones that are really soft. You know, the ones that where you just fall in, right?
You know what, I think my one at home is too soft, that I got at home, yeah. Like, I got a place in the country that has the perfect one, but at home, it's like, I don't think it's doing me any favors. Too soft.
Yeah.
So be careful of the too soft mattress.
Yeah, it did hurt your back, and then you wake up feeling sore when you're not supposed to, right?
Yeah, like my intercostals, kind of back muscles, can sometimes be a little seizy, you know what I'm thinking? All I did was reach for the chai tea.
Yeah.
Why is it doing that, you know? So, these are really important things. Are you in Vancouver?
I am, yeah.
Wow.
So, I saw a clip of the show online. And
I'm so sorry to hear that.
I noticed that you're on the floor.
I had a heart attack, yeah.
Ah, so how is that on the back, though? Being on stage
fine,
all the
fine.
Time.
Yes, yeah. Well, you know, I'm in better shape than I was because I've had 12 sessions of rolfing, and I did, you know, I have just spent the summer getting in and out of my rowboat and, you know, jumping down from my wharf and stuff. I have a little rowboat in the country, so I'm fat, but I'm strong, you know, and so I'm not worried about that. And I've had a little rolfing, so my hip is not as vulnerable as it was. I was worried because I, you know, I do my rock solid, I kind of do, you know, these big squats and stuff, and I'd be like, oh my God, what have I done? But, you know, I'm fairly healthy, even though I'm kind of chunky. I eat very well. I eat a lot of organic stuff, and I try to stay healthy, although right now I've got a blocked up eustachian tube, and I've spent the day in a panic. I went to the Chinese doctor, and she pressed quite hard on my side of my head and told me I was a baby for being upset about it, but I don't like not being able to hear. Call me kooky.
Mm. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to get that fixed.
Yeah.
My head. It's great having my headphones on.
Yeah. What, when you, because I guess you've toured this show to various cities across the city, across the country, have you?
Well, not really. I did it in a couple of places. I did, like, Northern Ontario. It was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't done a lot of touring. I'm excited about doing more shows and then being able to get like more feedback about it, because then I can maybe tour it some more if I get a little bit of press. I need some press.
Yeah.
I need some press from people who've seen the show. It's like, you know, for me it's like so much more fun to do a show like this than to be in a situation where I'm either doing a corporate gig or doing a stand-up thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't like, I get really, really uptight about stand-up because it feels very, like, I feel like I've been tricked, like a cow to the slaughter. Like, when you go down this, when you go out on that stage, you're going to be in front of a mic and people are going to be expecting you to be funny. And I always feel like I don't get it. I don't know how to do that. I mean, it takes practice. People do it all the time. But, like, I'd rather be able to sprawl on the floor if I want, or get up on a chair and roll across the floor and just talk about things and take my time and, you know, take my time and be able to talk about things from any position. And standing up at the mic seems very restricted to me.
Mm.
Restrictive, you know?
Yeah.
And it also feels, like, very competitive. Like, when they say, next up, you know, this neurotic weirdo hails from St. John's, New Bionia. Like, oh, my God. Sure, I'm from St. John's, but I don't go around hailing about it.
But people get a lot of wisdom out of the show, will they?
Well, you know what? I think what people do is they laugh, which is really fun. And I really, you know, like, I've noticed that people really enjoy it. And I feel like because I'm a little bit older, I kind of get that kind of feeling of, you and I are exactly the same, right? You and I are the same. You and I are in the same boat. We are, like, and, you know, it's the connection that I feel like I don't feel like. I used to go on stage and think, you guys have it together, and you are looking at me, and I don't like you because you can see me, and now you can see that I'm not very smart, or, you know, something like that. And now I think, oh, you and I are exactly the same, because all of us have, you know, disappointment. We you know, we have aspirations, we have fear, we have hope, we have loss, we have, you know, we feel embarrassed about who we are at different times, and we just feel lost in different situations. And so I think that's the place you gotta find when you do comedy, is the place where you know you're the same as people. And I always thought, no, everybody's the same, we're all the same, but I felt like everyone's the same, but I'm a little bit more horrible, you know.
So what's it like then to do comedy as you have for all these years? And if things in the your private life, say, are not as happy or not as
right.
funny?
Well, I feel like sometimes I feel like I'm getting, like the last time I had to do comedy, I feel like I was very dark. I kept saying things like, you know, I was on vacation and I found out that, you know, Amanda's doing amazing at McGill. And that Jonathan, although he had a good start in football, he's got a small tendon issue in his leg. But I could give a shit because I don't fucking know these people.
Yeah.
You know, and then I felt like I was being really dark. Like, I didn't know how to deliver it like a bi comedian who would say, so, you know what I mean? I just had the wrong material for me. Like, I shouldn't be mean or something. Like, as soon as I say it, I think, oh, that was really mean. So mean, you guys didn't get it, you guys didn't think it was funny. So, you know, like, I don't know. Like, I think sometimes it's not the time to do comedy, but you said you were going to. But, you know, in my life, things are funny. Like, I find it funny. I find stuff funny all the time, and people who hang out with me think that I'm, you know, funny and stuff. Like, there's a woman that's following me around right now, my friend. She's trying to kind of create material for a kind of a reality show, like a sort of mockumentary type show,
right.
Like a little bit of a Curb Your Enthusiasm vibe, where I kind of get, you know, I kind of get myself in trouble or whatever. But, you know, it's like, apparently, but for me, like, I really would like to, I wish I had been more careful with my money and I hadn't wasted it like a son of a bitch, and I could just fucking take off right now and live in Jamaica with my friend who has a taxi.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to be able to, you know, not have to work so hard. But the best case scenario is doing a one-woman show, because it's fun, it's direct, people are laughing, it's not that long, it's not like I'm doing... I'd love to be able to do a lot more shows on stage, you know, that'd be great.
You know, Martin Short had a one-man show on Broadway. And mm-hmm. and I think the title was Only If I'd Saved.
Oh, yes, that's right, so they didn't have to, yeah, If Only I'd Saved or something, yeah. And it's like, it's true, it's like, you know, I sometimes feel like, well, I just got hypnotized about 4 months ago so that I would pay attention to my money. And of course, it was quite a shock to me that I, you know, how the extent to which I had been so stupid. Now I feel like I got to pay that woman. Why did I think I could have a gardener? I can't. You know, now I'm kind of like, I had a person do a little bit of gardening, and now I have to pay her. And I'm like, oh, no. You know, so I'm aware. Maybe I'm painfully aware now. And so I'm panicking about everything. Like, you know, you got to put yourself out there. It's like what I was thinking about poor old Hillary Clinton. She's got pneumonia.
Yeah.
You know why she's got pneumonia? Because she's a human being who's being like the, you think about the stress you have because you had to go to a party with people that you didn't like or something.
Yeah.
The stress of trying to run for president against a fucking, excuse me, I don't know if you curse on your show.
Oh, yeah, you can.
Against Donald Trump. I mean, the ludicrous nature of events in there, just too much.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard to believe what's in the news, isn't it?
It really is. It's just, it's gone to the extreme. It's almost like, you know, like the Kardashians quality, like, you know, the Kardashian girls actually, like, people say, I'm thinking that the degree of depravity and, you know, inanity that we've gone to with shit like that, where it's like, you know, we're going to get our day off Sunday, and, you know, it's like, there's nothing going on. Why are we watching you? Like, I've been watching Bachelor in Paradise. What am I doing? Why don't I just, like, hit my head against the wall? It's so stupid. It's like grade seven. It's like, Jerry likes me. I'm going to go to the dance with him. It's like grade seven all day long. But, you know, we brought it on ourselves. It's a very degraded society. It's full of people who are afraid of their own shadows. And then they think, well, we need somebody. But what you really need is personal strength. What you really need is the courage to live your own life, not some idiot who's going to fight off all the bad guys for you.
Yeah. Is that one of the reasons why you've stayed in Canada all these years?
Oh, my God, I wouldn't want to. I couldn't handle it at all. Plus, you'd have to be thin. I can't be thin. I can't do it. Obviously, I like snacks too much. And I'm not funny enough to be so funny that it's worth it to be being fat. I'm somewhere in the middle. I'm only funny enough. You know, I'm completely neurotic. I'd be totally scared. I've never had any confidence. It's something that I'm trying to get hypnotized so I can have more confidence. But, you know, there's things I do have confidence about. Like, I know I can do this or this or this. But, like, when it comes to the big things, like finishing a book, sitting down, even though it might not be amazing at this very moment, and writing, ugh, that's hard.
Yeah. So what do you tell people, because you've had a career that a lot of people in this country would envy, and you've got talent that a lot of people would kill for. How do you explain the sort of angst or this doubt that you still have after all these years?
Well, you're always in your own skin. You're not like someone's idea of you. You're always yourself. So no matter what's happening, you have to live your own life. And so in my own life, I've had things that have been disappointing and things that haven't worked out as I wanted and, you know, loss and, you know, and I've had many, many blessings. I have wonderful daughters and great grandsons and, you know, like I've got a beautiful like family that we're all friends and, you know, and I've been lucky to have a job. But like, you know, I have anxiety about not being a normal person who, you know, like one time I didn't insure my house for a whole year and didn't realize it till the woman said, well, actually, Kathy. And I was like, what? Like, my mail was so disorganized, and I didn't know where it was, and I didn't insure my house for a year. I was like, how can I be this crazy, you know? So I've had my struggles with depression, anxiety, you know, loneliness, you know, feeling like a real weirdo. You know, I'm a Buddhist, and I, you know, that view has really, you know, helped me to, you know, have my own philosophy about the advantages of loneliness and being, you know, kind of not being neurotically connected with some whatever's going on. Like, I'm not one of those people that, like, seeks activities and I get the big thrill. And people always say, gotta have something to look forward to. It's like, to me, that's crazy. And people always say, like, you know, all the girls are getting together. It's like that whole idea of, like, having 25 friends that have always gotten together on every Friday night for the last 35 years. You know, it's just like, it's all, like, for a long time in my life, I thought there's something wrong with me because I don't have that. I have a friend here and a friend there, and I have, you know, but I didn't feel like I had the thing that people have that made, like, whatever people had that made them happy and normal, and, you know, barbecues and going on boats and things that people have. I've been on the outside, and for many years I thought there was something wrong with me, but now I realize I'm kind of an introvert. I don't really want to be on the boat. I'm really fussy about who I hang around with. I don't really want to be with the gang, you know, just because we've all known each other for a long time. Like, I, you know, so I have all my own neurosis, you know, and I've struggled with, you know, my own stuff. And so no matter what it seems like, I'm not one of those people that figured it out and did it right. And, you know, like, I'm just not. I've clung to, like, in my mind, I've clung to the TV show, you know, out of, you know, and, like, people would say, you got to leave, you got to get out of there about 7 years in. It's like 23 years. I should be hung for hanging on to a TV show that long. You know what I mean? Like, people say, no, you're great. You know, it's great to have you on there. And it's like, I haven't got the guts not to be on. You know, maybe that's what it is, you know? Maybe that's what it is. Like, I like living in Halifax, being able to ride my bike to work, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I've had a good life. That's why I call my show Stranger to Hard Work, because they feel like a bit embarrassed about how easy it's been, you know?
Uh-huh.
But on the other hand, I've got my stuff. I've had my struggles. I've had my stuff. I've been disappointed. I've lost my, you know, I've lost love. I've not been able to have, like, you know, a partner. Like, you know, I have never had that. I didn't want to be single. Now I do. I love it. But, you know, since I was a kid, I've been looking for my partner, and I failed at that, you know? In fact, I had to pay my ex-husband child support. To me, that's like the ultimate failure. Not only does the guy not look after me, but I've got to send him money, you know. Like, I've had a lot of stuff going on in my life, but, you know, ultimately I've worked hard to figure out, like, if I feel something, I try to get help, and I try to figure out how to, you know, and luckily I've come in, I've found some things that have helped me. I've done different kinds of therapy that I've found amazing, and I've applied my view, my Buddhist view, and I've kind of gone, oh, you know, the one thing that I did live through in terms of, you know, feeling a little bit of aloneness has actually tempered into a great joy about life, you know.
So is there anything that you
are you still there?
Yeah, no. Is there anything that...
I just lost you. Hang on. Okay, go ahead.
Is there anything that you know now that you wish you knew earlier?
Oh, yeah. I think it's that very thing. It's like there's these two guys, Barry Michaels and Phil. They have a book called The Tools, and it was one of the cool books that I read, that they have these five tools. And one of the tools is you write down all the things. This is a really cool exercise. You write down all of the aspects of yourself that you're kind of embarrassed about. And, you know, that you're neurotic, that you're, like, you're not loyal, or that you're maybe, you're kind of lazy or arrogant or aggressive or whatever, all those horrible things about yourself. And then you draw a picture of that person, and you kind of bring that person with you when you go on stage or when you go into a room where you're really uncomfortable, because really you're thinking, I've got to go into this party, and my fiancé's parents have money, and I'm really embarrassed because I came from, you know, Shea Street, and we didn't have anything. And instead, you bring your little Shea Street girl with you, and you go out there. And to me, it's like, what I've learned is that really sort of like, the more you accept yourself and really get to be friends with yourself, and, you know, befriend all the qualities that you are embarrassed about and accept them, then you bring that with you everywhere you go, and you feel like you don't get that same kind of separation and paranoia and all that stuff. And so in that way, I feel like ever since I've created a better relationship with myself, I haven't got time for all the wonderful people that want to hang out with me. Coming from a place of feeling like a bit left out, now I've got, like, friends that I just love and people want to do stuff all the time. And that's new, and it really came with that whole thing of actually working to, like, you know, really come to terms with my storyline and really fall in love with myself in spite of the challenges of being the way I've been, you know, yeah. Like, and people would say, what are you talking about? You're, you know, but you know, you have your, you, everybody has their own stuff, their secret stuff that's yeah. painful for them.
Yeah. We all have a deal, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like to encourage people to do stuff about it.
So you mentioned, what did you say earlier, 23, 24 seasons now of 22 minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, because I read this somewhere that you've been on TV in this country for about 30, 31 seasons straight. If you think about the years of Codco, right?
Codco, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's weird. You think I'd have some more money, but Canada's unique, and it hasn't. In Canada, you don't get what you call residuals, which you get in the States. Here we get bought out. We get paid once, and if you didn't save, you're shagged. But like, no, I have been on TV, so. So many years, like only about 20 weeks of the year, but since 1986, so 30 years this year.
Yeah.
And like, it's funny because it's just a little, I think I've been on TV maybe the longest of anyone in the country.
That's on now, yeah, probably. Yeah.
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 Yeah. So that's kind of interesting. You know, it doesn't make me like a character. I'm still me. You know what I mean? Like, when I think about people that you might mention, like Martin Short, like, I feel like he's got all this confidence and he's got something different, you know? I like him a lot, but I feel very different from him.
So what surprises me is that you've been in the mattress department there at Sears and no one's come up to even help you.
Exactly. It's like, you know, who have you got to blow around here to get a mattress back? Like, I've laid on the beds. Now I'm in the sheets and the pillowcases and nothing. Like, it is incredible. And I, you know, it's not, I've been here since, let me see what, my phone. Oh, yeah. I've been here since 3:35. Good point, buddy.
Yeah. What? But when you travel across the country, though, I mean, you do get recognized from time to time, don't you?
Mostly, I get recognized by my voice because I have blonde. Mm. I've had blonde hair now for about 3 years. I'm not going back to dark hair because your gray roots come out every 2 or 3 weeks, and you go, "Hey, I'm young. Whoops, I'm old." You know.
Yeah.
But like having blonde hair, I don't care. I like my gray roots. But I don't. When I do get recognized, people are so beautiful. Like people are, like. People are so sweet to me. Like, that's one beautiful thing about being on TV and being funny is that people call out from across a parking lot, "Hey, I love you." Like, what other job can you have where people say, "I love you," except maybe delivering people's babies. They probably love you when you deliver the baby.
Yeah, they do, yeah.
So, I do get recognized sometimes, especially when I speak. People say, "Ah, I knew the voice." You know what happens to me a lot is people think, they say, "Mary, right?" I'm Mary Walsh. Uh-oh, two people are coming to work here. They're probably going to kick me out of the department. Nope, they don't even care that I'm here. It's totally cool.
But,
phew! People think I'm Mary. So, in fact, the other day, I got a call. I got a couple of emails this summer.
Uh-huh.
King Sheet said, that's nice, clearly. I had a couple of emails saying what I like to be on Celebrity Chopped, and I was very excited because I love food.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that if I won, I would get $10,000 to give to the charity of my choice. So immediately I called Canadian Parks Wilderness, who try to protect the Boyle Forest and all kinds of good stuff like that. And I said, "Look, I'm going to be on Celebrity Chopped. If I win, I'm going to give you guys the money." You know.
Yeah.
And then it turned out that I really think this is what happened. So my friend calls back and they say, "No, the lady, I guess there's been a misunderstanding. The lady who sent that email doesn't work here anymore," whatever. And I was like, "You're kidding, right?" Like, so apparently I was uninvited to do the show.
Mm.
And I was really, like, shocked, you know. And so I thought to myself, I wonder. This is, like, I thought, I bet they did the thing that people do. They think that I'm, that Mary's me and that I'm Mary, you know. So I called Mary when I was in Newfoundland. I said, Mary, I said to someone, I bet Mary's doing, and they said, yeah, Mary's doing Celebrity Chop. I said, Mary, I got to tell you, like, it's really crazy, but sometimes people, they ask me thinking I'm you, you know?
Yeah.
Like Kim Cattrall said, asked me if I'd like to be in the show, and I was kind of, huh, yeah, Mary's in it, because they met Mary, and Mary has an agent and all that stuff, and so it was quite shocking. Mary's going to be on it, not me. And that happens to me a lot, so people think I'm Mary. So sometimes it hurts, and then sometimes I, you know, I think that happens to her too, you know.
Has she said that it happens to her?
Yeah, some people think that she's me, and you know, and we were told that we were twins in another life, and that we were very competitive.
Yeah.
It's been an interesting journey because we're better friends now than we used to be because we're so different. She's very intellectual and I'm very emotional, you know?
Yeah.
I'm very smart, but I'm not one of those real smart. Like, I don't, my main style is not the intellect, you know?
Yeah. What are you looking forward to about being in Vancouver and playing this show here?
Well, I'm hoping that we have fun shows and that people laugh a lot and that we have good connection. And I'm also looking forward to, you know, wandering around Vancouver because I love Vancouver. And I have a couple of friends out there that I've known for many, many years. And I used to live there in 1979-80 over in Kitsilano.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to ride my bike over the Burrard Bridge and go swimming over at the big aqua center over there.
Oh, yeah.
And hang out and have tea in English Bay. I love Vancouver. It's bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and harder to get around. But I'm just excited because I'm into natural health and, like, I'll go to the Gaia Herb store and, you know, I'll just be able to hang out. And having to do a show at night is great because then you have, you know, your days to do other stuff. I'm just hoping my ears don't, like, explode on the plane. That would be great.
Yeah. So it is still a thrill for you. Or I should ask you if it's still a thrill after all these years to get a laugh.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, when do I get a laugh? I do the show for nobody. You know, I'm not on the desk when the audience comes in. Like, you know, I fool around in my life. I get laughs when I'm playing with my friends and stuff. But, like, doing a show is the time that you actually get a chance to connect and have that thing, you know. So I don't do that a lot. I don't do, like, I'm not always doing comedy clubs. I'm not always doing stuff. So my show is a great opportunity for me to have that fun, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great fun, you know. I love it. I mean, I'm not a crazy workaholic. Okay, you're not going to see me on the road 85 dates a minute. Like my ex Tom Wilson, when I say I'm going on tour, I mean I'm going to do 4 gigs here and 10 there. And he's like, on the road all the time. Just not my style.
Yeah. Well, when you're in town, maybe we'll go mattress shopping.
Well, absolutely. Are you going to come to the show?
I am. I can't wait to see it.
Will you say hi to me?
I will. I will, definitely.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good.
This has been such a pleasure, Kathy.
Well, thanks. I hope I didn't... I have no idea what I said, but you know what? That's okay.
That was wonderful.
Okay. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you.
Kathy Jones brings her one-woman show, Stranger to Hard Work, to the Fire Hall Art Center as they begin their 34th season here in Vancouver. That run is the 28th of September to the 8th of October, 2016. Visit firehallartcenter.ca for tickets. This hour has 22 minutes, begins its 24th season this fall on the CBC. Kathy Jones joined me on the line from Halifax in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.